Thanks, Luke. So I have 20 minutes to preach a 40-minute sermon. Hey, so Wayne, what should they do on Friday? How are they going to know that you have brought all the whole of Shofar? Saturday. Go on Friday for the trial. Yeah? Okay. So you need to go and find Wayne so that people will know that you're supporting Wayne. Okay. Brandy is going to give Nicholas some play dates every week now, like twice a week, three times a week. Is that the deal? So please go and support him. But Wayne, we love you. Thanks for doing a great job. It's awesome to be here. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can just be so involved in what you are doing. And George, Lord, thank you that so many people are getting to know you, Jesus. It just, this week, Lord, is just such a significant week for myself, Lord, and I'm getting to just to meet people that encounter you through the things that we do, Lord, and we love you for that, Jesus. It's such a privilege to be in the ministry, and it's an amazing joy to be with you and to partner and to co-labor in your purposes, in the name of Jesus. Great, so we're going to jump right into it. So we're going to start with a very familiar scripture, Matthew 6, verse 9. What does it say? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? What does hallowed be thy name mean? It says, our Father who are in heaven, we want your name to be revered. We want your name to be glorified in the whole world. So we're talking about holiness, and I specifically chose this topic because we want to pray this as a church. We want to say, hallowed be thy name. It's such cool English, Old King James. Say this after me. Hallowed be thy name. It'd be great if Daniel, he's a student, if he's on NMMU and his lecturer gives back his paper, his test paper, and Daniel's marks are usually excellent, so he gets a 93% for accounting or something like that. Huh? Is that true, Daniel? And then the teacher is like, hallowed be thy name, because she knows that Daniel is a Christian. Everything that he does in such a way that it brings glory to God. So that's basically the sermon tonight. I want all of you to be able to pray this prayer in everything that you do. You go to the supermarket to buy some bread, and the lady behind the till, she's like, why is she so full of joy and love? And you're like, hallowed be thy name. I'm bringing glory not to myself, but I'm bringing glory to God. How cool would that be? Like, hey, have you ever seen those shofar people? They go and play touchies, and they play it in such a way. They're so competitive, and they always win, but they're always kind and nice, and people are like, hallowed be thy name. I want to serve the king that they are serving. I want to be involved in the relationship, or I want to have a relationship like they are having. So when I was younger, I have a twin brother. So we were born on my grandfather's birthday on the 4th of June. So we were the favorites all my life. All the other cousins, all 13 of them, they never could become the favorites because we were born on my grandfather's birthday. And my brother carried my grandfather's, all his names, John Nicholas Francis. And he was called Kenny, and my grandfather was also called Kenny. So we played Paul Ruiz once, and we played a rugby game. So, and then my brother scored a try, and my grandfather went to the coach, and he's like, ask me what is my name. Ask me what is my name. He was old already. He was in his 70s. He said, ask me, what is my name? And then the coach obviously, what is your name? What is your name? And he said, my name is Kenny O'Kennedy. So what he was trying to tell him, he said, My brother, hallowed be thy grandfather's name. My brother brought glory to the grandfather, to him as a grandfather. And I think there's sometimes we have this idea that we need to do something special, we need to perform, we need to achieve something in life in order for God to really experience or be proud of us. But it's not true. All God is saying, He's saying, hey, I want you to live according to my word. I want you to have a relationship with the Father in heaven, and I want you to make a commitment to this prayer, hallowed be thy name. Because when we can't be holy in ourselves. We cannot be holy in ourselves. We last week or 2 weeks ago, we talked about holiness, and I said in the Old Testament, if you touched an unclean object, for instance, a corpse, you became clean. In the New Testament, Jesus says we must go and lay hands on corpses because they will become holy. They will be resurrected into life. So Jesus touches us, we become holy, and because we become holy, He's already proud of us. Have you read the passage in the Bible where Jesus gets baptized? He hasn't started any ministry yet. He's 30 years old. He gets baptized, and the Father opens the heavens and He says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." If you translate it just in our language, it'd be like, "This is my beloved Son. I'm so proud of Him already. I'm so proud of Him because of that one act of obedience, because of you sitting here, because of you choosing Jesus, because of you saying, hey, tonight I'm going to go to that church and I'm going to worship for an hour and 10 minutes. He's like, hey, you are my beloved son, Kanya, and I'm well pleased with you. So to come back to that prayer, our Father which art in heaven. So that's actually, it's such a powerful statement. So we're saying, our Father, so we're praying with other people. Sometimes we just want to pray the My Father prayer, and you want to try and sort out your own issues on your own. You don't need other people, but that's not biblical. The biblical way is to pray the Our Father. There must be a community of believers that you belong to. You need to have friends that are believers. You need to have people that you can share openly with. So you pray that our Father who are in heaven, our Father, and it's not a person, it's not somebody that's far away, but it's a Father that's close by. I shared it this morning also with the morning crowd is when we just, when Eva was born, we were just so excited to be with Eva because she was an amazing little daughter. And she will never be allowed to date the McAfee. Wayne's surname is McAfee. By the way, Nicholas told me he's actually off to Holly. That's why he's going visits Mac so often. So we would wake her up just to be with her. I know and it was the stupidest thing ever. And we did it a couple of times. Why? Because as a father and a mother, a father and mother loves, and what does love do? Love, it always wants to come closer. It wants to come closer. So if we pray our Father, we say, our Father, this brothers and sisters of mine, we are praying together as the children of God, but it's not God only, the far away God, but it's a Father that actually wants to connect with us. He wants to come closer. And then we pray the next part and we pray, hallowed be thy name. We say, may your name be glorified. In one way, it's a prophetic declaration. We're saying, God, let my life glorify you. God, through me, glorify your name. May people look me in the eye and say, hallowed be thy name. And And the other hand, it's also a commitment that we make. We say, God, we will live in such a way that we will bring glory to your name. So we declare, God, that we want to make your name great, but also we declare that we're going to be obedient in such a way that we bring glory to your name. So while Rico was sharing it, I just felt God telling me that there's a lot of you, you're like, yeah, you can pray this prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, because it's a religious prayer that you've prayed before. But the moment you want to pray and you bring it close and you make it intimate and you say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name through my life. And you're like, no. I won't be able to glorify God through my life. I cannot do this because I am sinful. I am weak. I am maybe shy. There's a weakness. There's an area in my life that I have not surrendered to God. And God's saying, just bring it to God. Let Jesus touch that unholy part of you so that you'll become holy. But he has given us the grace, the unmerited favor. He has given us grace in Jesus. When we come to him, we say, God, we cannot do this on our own, but we surrender everything, that he will touch us, and then we will become holy, and we will realize, and it's not something that we only know in our heads, but it's something, it's a conviction in our heart that we are able to glorify God's name. Because a lot of you think, yeah, Luke can do this, Arnold can do this, maybe JH can do this, Wayne can do this. People that have already walked this road with God. No, all of us are called to pray this prayer. In other words, prophesying that God's name will be glorified in every sphere that we have influence in. And also making a commitment to live in such a way that our lives bring glory to God. It's not something that you earn, but it's a gift that you receive. And that then because of that gift that you receive, you surrender to God. Like, God, this is so amazing. I cannot do this on my own. So I surrender more. I surrender more. I want to become more like Jesus. I want to become more like Jesus. So let's look at Ezekiel 36, 20-23 quickly. I like this passage. It's a passage where God's saying, "Hey, Israelites, you are useless." Because sometimes I feel useless. You have messed up my name. I've chosen you. I've told you that, and I've gathered you. You are my people, but you have not been good at stewarding my name. So listen to this. So Ezekiel, God speaking to Ezekiel. So this is a time of captivity. The Israelites, they weren't in Israel anymore, but they were in Babylon. And wherever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name, for it was said of them, these are the Lord's people. And yet they had to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the people of Israel profaned amongst the nations where they had gone. Therefore say to the Israelites, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but it's for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. So God's saying, hey, despite of what you are doing, I don't care what you are busy with, but I know that I've written my name on you. You are my people. So remember, this is old covenant. This is old covenants before Jesus. But I know that I need to exalt myself, exalt my name, bring holiness to my name through you. So I'll still do it. But it's not because of you, because I'm angry with you, because you have wasted your opportunity to bring glory to my name. But I'm still going to do it. And that is God's commitment to bringing glory to his name through each and every one of us. So in the New Testament, if we want to translate that scripture into the New Covenant, this would be where we're like, God, I feel so weak. God, I've messed up. Last night I've watched pornography. Or, hey, God, last week I messed up. That thing that I said I will never do again. And God said, hey, despite of what you have done, despite of the many evil things you have done, I still am committed to bring glory to my name through you. Just give what you have. Just give it to me. So God is not, he's not scared of our dirt. He's not scared of our dirt. He's not like, wow, Jade, you have messed up again. Oh man, I'm so scared of the sin in JH's life. No, he's coming ever so closer to us. And he's like, JH, my heart for you always have been to be holy. Because if you are holy, then I can have a relationship with you. And that's the ultimate desire that God has for us. So give me that sin. Give me that inability to live a holy life. Give it to me. And then I will make my name great through you. Okay, so let's use the example of David. So we're just rushing through, but I think it's just important. So David, you can go and read Chronicles, and it's also the story is also in Samuel. David was this king after God's heart. When I read about Jesus and how Jesus relates to David, I'm like, how can Jesus, who is God himself, say, I am the son of David? Huh? Imagine Jesus comes back and he's like, I am the son of Luke. Why is Jesus doing that? What he's actually saying, David did so well in stewarding the glory on my name, of my name, that I want to relate to him as a son, I want to be in his lineage. I've blessed David because he was a man after my heart. So David's always a good example just to see how to live. What should our priorities be? And we can look in Chronicles and Samuel. So David comes to Nathan the prophet and he's saying, hey, I live in a palace, but God lives in a tent. We need to do something about it because it is not bringing glory to his name. It is not bringing glory to his name that God lives in a tent. So this is an example. So I want to stimulate you to think of physically, how can you build your life? How can you steward God's glory in your life so that it will bring glory to God? So he's like, hey, God, I need to get you out of that tent because the tent is not the place where you're supposed to dwell. And then Nathan says, no, sorry, David, God spoke to me. You're not allowed to build the temple because you have too much blood on your hands. Your son will do it. And David's like, okay, that is fine. That's God's decision. But I'm going to still plan. I'm going to prepare. I'm going to do everything to make sure that eventually when Solomon builds this temple, that it will bring glory to his name. And then 1 Chronicles 22 verse 19, so he's speaking to Solomon, and then he's speaking to the people that he's employing. He's saying, now devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Begin to build the sanctuary of the Lord God so that you may bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the sacred articles belonging to God into the temple that will be built for the name of the Lord. Did you get that? He's saying, Okay, great. Let's hurry up. I'm busy dying. I'm not allowed to build this thing. But Solomon, you're going to do it. And people, you're going to listen to Solomon. He's still young, but you need to do it in this way. I want you to put everything into it. Because this is his priority. He wants to bring fame to God. This is David's biggest desire, is to leave a legacy that will bring, they will say, they will cry, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That is his biggest desire. And in the context of who David is, that's massive. Because he was the king and he had the biggest territory. He was king over the biggest territory that the Israel king ever saw. And he says his biggest desire in the end of his life was to build God a temple, because that's the one thing that he will eventually bring glory to his name. He's not interested in conquering more nations. He's not telling Solomon, hey, step one, step two, step three, this is how you're conquering nations. He's like, no, just build God a temple. Everything will be well with you. Just get a place where his name will be revered and everything will be well with you. So how did David do this? He did it with sacrifice. If you read in 1 Chronicles 21 and just maybe take a photo or write these scriptures down. He goes to a guy called Ornan's field and he buys the field from him. But Ornan, in the beginning, he wants to just give it to him for free. And then David's like, no, I can't take this for free because I can't give a sacrifice to God. I can't build this temple. He wants to build a temple on this ground, on this field. I can't build this if it's not going to cost me anything. Because he knew that he wants to sacrifice in order to bring glory to the king. So it will take sacrifice. You'll have to sacrifice. You'll have to sacrifice money. You'll have to sacrifice time. You'll have to sacrifice probably a couple of friendships. There's a lot of things. But in the end, you're not going to look at the sacrifice. You're going to go like, wow, the prize that I've received is so much greater. I don't even want to talk about the sacrifices that I made. If you go and speak to Wayne, they came from Ireland to South Africa. They immigrated. They have two kids living with them in South Africa. Their whole family in South Africa. And their family is living in South Africa, but everyone is living in Ireland. It's a sacrifice. But if you talk to him, he's not going to talk about the sacrifices he's made. He's going to talk about the reward of the sacrifices, the reward of saying, hallowed be thy name in everything I do, God. So the one is sacrifice. The second one, and you can read 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, where David speaks to Solomon, and he says, this must be an amazing piece of art, this temple. It's not going to be Soma Sua Sua. It's not going to be a Mickey Mouse temple, Solomon. This must bring reverence to God. So think of your life. So everything that you do, if you can do everything that you do in such a way, in an excellent way, that the teachers, your parents, the people that you have relationship with in your business, the people in George will go like, that business, that person, his life screams, hallowed be thy name. Not Amos' name, not Ben Rico's name, but God's name. So David, he sacrificed, he was excellent. And then the third point that I want to make, that I want to emphasize, it was never about only David and his family. He was always about the collective. He was about Israel. He told Solomon to build a temple, not so that they will be safe as a family, so that they can worship God, but that the whole of Israel can worship God. Some of us, in our individualistic Western worldview, we're very like, okay, it's a personal relationship between me and God. As long as I have a good relationship with God, as long as I read the Bible, as long as I can worship, as long as I... No, the Bible says we must pray that our Father. So my question is, Who are you praying the Our Father with? And can you add the second line to those relationships? Can you say that with my friends, I'm saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Can people from the outside see this? That you are bringing glory to God through the relationships and the way that you steward your relationships. Okay, great. Let's then.